It's a wonderful blessing to be back at Union Church this morning. As Brother Joe mentioned, it's so good to see the church beginning to fill up again. And we're thankful for that blessing this morning. It seems like every time I come here, I'm only here on second Sunday and try to join in every Wednesday night on Zoom meetings, and I've enjoyed that immensely. But it seems like on the second Sunday I'm going to come, I have to clean up something from before. Or call your attention to something from before, and I do that briefly this morning. Last time I was here, I stood before the Lord's people, and I encourage you to, I've mentioned this many times, to commit yourself to memorize Scripture, to learn and to tune into God's Word. Brother Joe mentioned this morning, Brother Jason mentioned in his wonderful, his humble prayer that I've never seen anything like 2020. All the problems that we faced during this year, and like I say, with probably Hurricane Sally on the way. And mentioned this morning, I do appreciate very much Brother Jesse and Brother Kenneth being here. Brother Jesse contacted me on the phone a while back and wanted to know if we were meeting here at Union. And I said, yes, we are. We are. And I said, the crowd's been pretty slim, but we're there, and some are on Zoom. And he said, Lord willing, we'll see you second Sunday morning. And I got here this morning. He was already here, him and his dad. So we welcome you here, and I'm thankful to have my niece today on her 19th birthday. I'm glad to have her. Glad to have all of you here this morning, and coveting interest in your prayer at the time that I stand before you. But in Scripture, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 29, and Mark chapter 12 and somewhere in there. It says you err if you know not the Scriptures. You're going to make mistakes if you know not the Scriptures. I think it's 12 and 24 and Matthew 22 and 29. But so we err if we don't know the Scriptures. So I can tell you, dear friends, most of you know me a lot. Some of you know me all my life, and some of you for quite a while. And I am a very health conscious individual, and try to fight the battle against aging. I'm not winning, but I'm fighting. And we know how it'll end unless the Lord comes back. But I went to a Naturally You specialist a while back and let her treat me and try to get more energy. And now that I'm away from some of the stress, Brother Jason, it's getting better. But she told me I didn't need to eat bread because of the inflammation of the abdominal tract that it causes. And I said, well, the Lord ate bread. Said, I don't quite understand that. She said, well, you can eat Ezekiel bread. So if you go to the store and they got Ezekiel cereal and Ezekiel bread, it's in the frozen section. And on the wrapper, it says Ezekiel 4:9. You go listen to Ezekiel 4:9. It talks about that type of bread. It's different from the processed type bread that we normally eat. And I switched to that. But now, in Ezekiel, remember the last time I was here, some of you, many of the same ones were here, and some were listening in on Zoom. And I could follow Brother Joe that morning. About 11:35, I started hurting in my lower back. And then I said, no, you think the worst, you think kidney stones, you know. Never had those, but I pray I don't. I've seen people with those. But then I started, it rotated to my abdomen, and a very sharp pain and discomfort in my stomach. And I didn't eat an Ezekiel bread that morning, Ezekiel 4:9. But you know what Ezekiel 4:11 says? It says to drink a sixth of a hen of water from time to time. Now, I didn't know what a hen was. H-I-N. It's a gallon and a half. So you drink a sixth of that. You do the math. 192 ounces of water divided by six is 32. So if I'd have drank a quart of water, preaching probably wouldn't have been as difficult that morning. You err if you know not the Scriptures. So it's 5.7 liters of water, and 1/6 of that. Speaking of metric system, when I first began teaching school way back in 1983, I taught junior high science, and we talked about how the United States was one of the few countries of the world that didn't use the metric system and how we were going to switch to it. That's when I was, let me go back when I was a student, they were telling us that. When I became a teacher, I was telling students that. And here we are in 2020 and we're still in the feet and inches and miles and gallons and so forth. We hadn't made a lot of progress with that metric system. But I told you the last time I was here that on my 60th birthday, I was going to plan to ride my bike 60 miles and would come by some of your homes and stop to rest. And I got to doing the math on that. And I said, it's time to go to the metric system. So I went to 60 kilometers instead, which is 37.2 miles. I actually rode 37.44, rode from my house to Mount Gilead. I did stop and visit with Brother Joe Spring and stopped by Concord Baptist Church, where some of my family's buried, including my great-grandfather, maternal great-grandfather, Brother Charlie Cowart, where he's buried. And so that's why I didn't come by your house. I was born the wrong month. If it had been October 2nd instead of September 2nd, I might would have stayed with my original plan. But I want to talk to you this morning about some things in Scripture that I trust would be a benefit to you. I spoke with some last week down at Lexi, and sometimes I do it. I trust Brother James out of laziness, but it's a message that's needed for this occasion. And I trust the Lord left it on my mind to bring some of these things to your attention this morning. I had a man tell me the other day, he said, I've about had enough of this pandemic. Join the club. I tell you before that I knew I was not made for social distancing, but I really know it now. Sometimes in Scripture, enough was, in that using that context, that I've had enough. I've about had enough. But most of the time when it's used in Scripture, it's more along the lines of my grace is sufficient. You know, in Psalm 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And it listed five specific things there that are benefits of being a child of God. And I heard Brother David Burris preach on this one time, and I trust this morning, I like Brother David Burris, will not do anything that I will forfeit any of these benefits. And benefits of living in the kingdom and being part of the Lord's church. But he says five things there that are very important for our consideration. The first one says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. You like that benefit? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who healeth all thy diseases. You know, let me go over the rest of it and we'll come back and make another point. Someone I'm supposed to ask for prayer for this morning. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. You like that benefit? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. You love that benefit? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. You love that benefit? I'll take all five of those and I don't want to forfeit any of them. That's bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. I was supposed to ask the church to pray for a young man this morning. I communicated with his father today, Brother Jewel and Sister Kathy know him well. There's a Smith family down at Tylertown that's been faced with a lot of adversity recently. On January 15th of 2019, their son Stacy died at age 51, massive heart attack. Brother Charles, the daddy, found him. Called, didn't get him, got concerned and went over there and he collapsed there in the home and was deceased. That was January 15th of 2019. April 11th of 2019, Brother Charles was waxing his wife's car and died of a massive heart attack. August the 1st of 2020, Brother Charles' wife, Miss Kay, passed away. So he lost a brother, mom, and dad in a very short period of time. Brother Shannon has a son that's in his early 20s. There was an automobile accident September 3rd. Brother Shannon called me the morning of September 4th and asked him for prayers. And Brother Shannon's a very handsome individual, a very big guy. And he was very emotional on the phone. Told me his son, Chase, was in an automobile accident and had fractured his neck, broke his neck, and it was a 50-50 chance that he would walk again. This morning, Brother Shannon told me that they had transferred his son to the Shepherd's House in Atlanta, Georgia. And he talked to him this morning, And he said, "Daddy, my feet are cold." And they're hoping that that's because he has feeling in his feet. And I want you to join with me in prayer. His name is Chase Clark. I ask you to pray for that dear brother this morning, that he will be able to walk again, something that we take for granted. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." In John 10:10, the Lord tells us why he came to this earth. And I love this too. He said, "I came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." I came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, you know, sometimes we hear this misquoted. I've heard it misquoted saying that money is the root of all evil. No, that's not what Scripture says. Money is not the root of all evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And in Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes 5 and 10. It tells us some of the same thing. "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase." You know, sometimes we get in the mindset of, "What? How much is enough? How much is enough?" I can tell you, dear friends, all my life, it's been enough. His grace is sufficient. We'll mention that again in just a minute, the Lord being our helper. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have." Be content with such things as you have. I've told you time and time again about my aunt, Sister Sarah Jackson. She had asked for that song, 503, when she'd come to this church. And time after time, when I would get through preaching, she would give me two $1 bills rolled up and stick them in my coat, in my shirt pocket. The other day, August 26th, my brother and I were working down at the church at Tylertown. They hired him to build some cabinets down there, and he's brought his brother into the business. Like you've been there before, Brother Joe. But Sister Hilda, Aunt Hilda May and Sister Hilda Frazier came by the church. They had been down to Tylertown to visit Aunt Christine. Aunt Hilda May and Aunt Christine were classmates and friends growing up. And they stopped by, and August 26th was the day before August 27th, needless to say. And on August 27th, one of the strongest storms in U.S. history hit Lake Charles, Louisiana, where my precious Aunt Hilda May lives. And she took a $10 bill and gave me one and gave Brother Ricky one and would not take it back. It's still in my wallet, and I plan on leaving it in there. She didn't know what she's going to face the next day and the days to come. She knew the storm was beating down on her place. But the Lord's grace is sufficient. You know, that's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 9. Paul said, I was given a thorn in the flesh to buffet me. Buffet means to strike sharply, to slap in the face. He said, I prayed 3 times that it would depart from me. And what was the response that he got? My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Brother James, I've speculated many times and heard others talk about what that thorn was. I tell you what I believe the thorn was. The primary thorn was this. And in the end of Acts chapter 7 and Acts chapter 8, there was a man that was stoned to death that had the face of an angel. And as they were stoning him to death, the men that were hitting him with stones took his garments off and threw them at the feet of a man named Saul, who the first verse of chapter 8 says, who is consenting unto his death. And they said, Stephen looked into the heavens and he saw the Lord standing at the right hand of the throne of God. Saw him standing there. And what was his prayer? Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Do you think that Paul, that sound and those visual images of Stephen being stoned to death, you think that ever came back into his mental thought processes? I can tell you it did. I believe it haunted him. I believe he said it was a thorn in his flesh. And he said, Lord, if it be possible, man, let this pass from me. Let it depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient. You know, in Luke chapter 20 says, beware of the scribes. Beware of the scribes who desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the marketplace and the high seats in the synagogue and the chief rooms at feast, and for a show make long prayers. Sometimes we got to look at our motivation on things, and we got to understand that His grace is sufficient, that these benefits that I mentioned in Psalm 103 are ours as being children of God and heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. You know, you ever stop and think about, I'm just mesmerized sometimes when I stop and think about, on this earth right now, there's 7,655,957,369 people. That was in 2018. So I don't know, it's probably fluctuated a little bit from that. But 7 billion people. How's there enough food for all those folks? I mentioned science. When I first started teaching science, I could tell you in the book, it said that we had enough fossil fuels left from the earth for 30 years. Again, it's 1983. You do the math. Now it's the fuel prices are as low as they were 20 years ago. I watch all these cars going up and down the highway. So I wonder, how is there enough? How is there enough? You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 30, it talks about a horse leech. A horse leech. I had to research that a little bit and try to figure out what that was. But it's a bacterial organism that was in drinking water. And it's not very pleasant to talk about, but it would attach itself to the nasal passages or the throat area, mouth and throat area of the person or the animal that drank from that. And it says there, horse leeches crying, give, give. Never enough. They said there's four things there in Scripture that says that will say there's it's not enough. They're always craving more. And I know they're giving like personification. They're giving lifelike characteristics to inanimate objects. But they said the grave will say it's never enough. The grave, in Proverbs 30, the grave is never enough. I can tell you the last 7 months or ever how many months it's been, funerals have taken on a whole different perspective. I don't think I've attended one funeral inside of a building. Not one. I've been to a lot of graveside services. And as I pass down the road, I see these blue tents and green tents and fresh dirt, Brother Dick, in almost every cemetery. I think about the acres of land it must take to bury all these folks. And it continues. Where are we going to keep burying people? The grave, say, it's never enough. The barren woman, the barren womb, it says, will say it's never enough. The barren womb, you know, I mentioned this here before, that, you know, in a wedding day, a lot of planning goes into that. And you heard me say before, I've seen young girls bring to school a bride magazine, and they get their little friend group, and they're looking in that bride, here's the dress I'm going to have, and here's where I'm going to get married, here's how many children I'm going to have, and the boy, girl, boy stuff and all that. But the barren womb, you know, think about it in biblical times. The barren womb is like it's never enough. The extreme measures that couples go to conceive a child, and what a blessing it is to be able to have children. What a great blessing that is. You go to extreme lengths. The barren womb will say it's not enough. The Bible says the third thing there is that the earth, the dry earth that is not filled with water. You see some of these parched places in the desert and so forth where it's like it's just craving water. It's not enough. And the last thing, fire. Fire, we'll say it's not enough. You know, there's a fire in Australia that's been burning for over 6,000 years. It's a coal seam coming out of a mountain. And that fire has been burning for over 6,000 years. Talk about the eternal flame at the grave of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. How they keep the fire said it's not enough. You know, sometimes we're that way. But the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such as you have. I want to talk to you the rest of our time this morning about three in Scripture that had great problems. And how they were resolved. three men and their sons that had great problems. Go with me back to the Old Testament, to the book of Genesis in chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 13 tells us that the very first verse of Genesis 13 says, "And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold." Abram was a very rich man in cattle, in silver, and in gold. You remember the relationship with him and his adopted son, Lot. But nevertheless, we don't have time to get in this morning, but Abraham, it says in chapter 24, verse 1, Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham was lacking one thing, a bride for his son Isaac. And he told his trusted servant, I think it was Eliezer probably, "So don't you go back to my home country and find a bride for my son Isaac." You heard me talk about this before. There's been a lot of matchmakers in this church in particular. I won't call names on Sunday, but one of the offspring of those one time was going to fix me up with a lady, and I went to their church, and I'd been a long trip. I went into the restroom first, and this lady's son was in the restroom, and I spoke to him and asked him how he was doing, and asked about his mom, and said, "Well, she moved to Alaska." So I asked Brother Luke. I said, I'm giving names now. I said, "Brother Luke, since you moved to Alaska," I said, is that a maybe? But nevertheless, he had a tremendous task before him to find a bride for his son Isaac. And I just read to you, Abraham had been blessed in all things, but he was old. And his wife had passed away, Sarah, and he was distraught. He was in a state like we are right now. You know, some bad things have been happening. Brother Joe mentioned this morning, all across this country, it just blows my mind, the things that are happening and the unrest in this nation right now. But how are we going to deal with it, Sister Polly? I pray for you people in the school. I pray we'll understand that His grace is sufficient. That He's all we need. He's enough. He will forgive our iniquities. He will heal our diseases. He will crown us with loving kindness and tender mercy. He will redeem us from destruction. He will satisfy our mouth with good things. But I tell you what, if I was going to take on this task, I hope I would approach it like Eliezer did. He went back to his home country just as he was instructed. And he bowed down. He said he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham," this is what he prayed, "I pray thee, send me good speed this day and shew kindness unto my master Abraham." And you'll find there was more to the prayer than that. We won't take time to elaborate on that. But he began to pray, and the Bible says, before he had done speaking, Rebecca came to the well. Rebecca came to the well to draw water. The Bible says she was and the damsel was very fair. Fair is a word in scriptural time, means beautiful. Was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And they had a conversation there at that well. And look what it said here in scripture. It says in verse 22, "It came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets of her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold." I don't know why it was just one earring, but said he took a golden earring and two bracelets to give her as a gift. And they began to talk about why he was there, that he was seeking a bride for his master's son, who he just prayed for. Lord, show me, grant me good speed this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. And I love the responses. He asked her, "Whose daughter art thou?" And said, "Thou art the daughter of Bethuel." Bethuel means house of the Lord. In verse 25, she said, "Moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in." I remember Brother Ricky Harco talking about years past. There he was an elected official in his county in Fort Payne area of Alabama. said he would be planning a church trip, be going off to preach a meeting, and some of the ladies in his office would ask, do you want us to book hotel accommodations for you? And he said, no, I'm going to stay with brother and sister so-and-so. And they said, do you know them? He said, no, not yet. Not yet. And it just blew them away, Brother Doug, that he was going to stay with folks he didn't know. But you know who he's going to stay with? Some of his brothers and sisters in Christ. And you'll find, as you interact with brothers and sisters in Christ, it doesn't take long for you to build a relationship. Said, you know, said, you come and stay with us. She knew that. You know, the Bible says that I've used this passage of Scripture many times. She drew water for Eleazar and also for his camels. And you heard me say before, I've Googled that too. They'll drink between 5 and 50 gallons of water, depending on when they drank last. I don't know how many gallons of water this beautiful woman drew, but you think the Lord has showed kindness to his master Abraham? I say that he had. Matter of fact, she said, moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough. Provender means food for animals and people. She told him, said, we got a place for you to stay. We got some straw to let your camels bed down. And we got provender. We got enough food for your camels. We got enough food for you. We got a room to lodge in. You see the hospitality. You see the divine providence of God through all of this. And that's all I can tell you today, dear friends, is pray the Lord will see us through the here. You know, as we meet here this morning, last Sunday down at Lexi, there was 13 of us there, and I was next to the youngest. Brother Mackie Rushing was a few years younger than me. Everybody in that congregation was from 50 to 80. There were no young folks. This morning, I'm looking at young folks. I know your wagon's loaded. I know there's concerns in your life. I don't know what trials you're facing today, but I know you're facing some. But I want you to understand His grace is sufficient. If you'll commit your ways to the Lord, you'll find straw, and you'll find provender, and you'll find a room to lodge in. You'll find people to walk with you. People to love you in the darkest times. You know, there was one in Scripture I mentioned sometimes. It's enough. Remember the name of Elijah? Elijah had prayed that it would not rain on the earth. And it did not rain for 3.5 years. I can't imagine the famine that must have took place. You know, and he had the showdown on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings, about chapter 18, somewhere in there. It did not rain for 3.5 years, and he sent a servant to go across the mountaintop to look toward the sea. And he said, go the seventh time. And the seventh time he went, there was a cloud like a man's hand. And he said, hook to the chariot and get down, for there will be an abundance of rain. They came down from that mountaintop there was an abundance of rain. The sky grew black, and it began to rain. You know, I saw this morning on television, they're projecting 11 inches of rain from Macomb, Mississippi this week. I don't know if it'd be that way or not. It may be like Marco. It may just dissipate. The Lord may stall it out and say it's enough. But if not, His grace is sufficient. You know, the rain may fall on us. I don't know, dear friends. But what concerns me is with Elijah. Elijah saw that great miracle there on Mount Carmel. He saw as he challenged the prophets of Baal. And they destroyed those 450 prophets of Baal. And then, you know, we got the bogus hit of homecoming queen in the congregation this morning. I'm thankful for that. You know, they did a good job voting, I think. I'm thankful to say that this morning. But this old wicked queen Jezebel says by tomorrow he's going to be just like those 450 prophets of Baal. He's going to be dead. And Elijah went out and sat under a juniper tree. I don't know how much time to get into juniper trees this morning, but it's kind of got a dense foliage and a deep tap root that it grows in arid climate. The deep tap root reaches down into the earth and to find moisture, and it has a fibrous root system near the top that gets the rain that falls immediately. And He's hiding out under a juniper tree and said, it's enough. And he requested to die. He just seen 3.5 year rain, a drought of rain end. He just seen the Lord send down fire at Mount Carmel. And now he's running for a queen, from a queen, a wicked queen, and wishing he was dead. You know what? The Lord, he woke up and there was a cake baking on the coals there, on the rocks. And the Bible says he ate of that and he went within the strength of that for 40 days to Mount Horeb, but hid out in a cave. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, what are you doing in the cave, Elijah? Go up to the mountaintop. Go up to the mountaintop and look. And as he went to the mountaintop, there was a great wind. The Bible says the Lord was not in the wind. There was a great earthquake, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. There was a great fire, and the Lord was not in the fire. But said after that, a still small voice. You know, I selected that song, one of my favorite songs in the book, 178. He whispers sweet peace to me. I don't know if that's been your experience in life. I venture to say it has been. That sometimes during your toughest times, in your darkest hours, you may not have heard it audibly. I've never heard audibly the voice of God, but I trust I've heard that still small voice that Elijah heard on that mountain. You know, you remember when Elijah had a little pity party. He said, Lord, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left serving your name, Lord, and they seek my life. He said, no, I've reserved 7,000 of myself from Israel who have not bowed themselves to the image of Baal. This morning I encourage you to stand steadfast in the things of God and to seek His counsel and His wisdom and understand that His grace is sufficient. Since the time, it's enough. I know it's been some long hours for you. I know invariably that it has been. But I tell you what, He's too wise to make a mistake. And one day we'll be with Him again and our soul will be satisfied. And there will be a reunion day when all the saints of God come back together, dear friends. But this situation with Eliezer, he's with Abraham to find a bride for Isaac. Turned out pretty good, didn't it? Let's look at a couple more before we run out of time. Go with me to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. If you read in this the passage of Scripture prior to this, you'll find that this same Isaac had a son by the name of Isaac, and Rebekah had sons by the name of Jacob and Esau. That's another story. But Jacob had 12 sons. Jacob had 12 sons. By Leah, he had Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. By their handmaids, by Bilhah, he had Dan and Naphtali. By the handmaid Zilpah, he had Gad and Asher. And then, of course, by his beloved wife, Rachel, he had Joseph and Benjamin. And of course, she died in giving birth to Benjamin, if you remember in Scripture. And the Bible says that as her soul was in departing. But due to jealousy, those 11 brothers basically had sold Joseph into Egyptian bondage. And he was there and he became prosperous. Let me see where we want to begin reading here in Genesis chapter 45. A beautiful place in Scripture. We'll just jump into the middle of it. Chapter 45, verse 3 says, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? They had an encounter, you know, and there was a great famine. There was going to be a 7-year famine. And said, doth yet my father live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sell me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land. And yet there are 5 years in the which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. Let me get to have this conversation. And Joseph had a desire to be reunited with his father. You remember what had happened. Jacob showed favoritism to Joseph. He loved his son. He made him a coat of many colors. Dolly Parton sang about that coat of many colors, or one similar to it. But you know, those jealous brothers had killed a kid, killed a goat, and dipped that coat. They put their brother in a pit and said, let's figure out what to do with him. Reuben said, let's put him in a pit. I think Judah said, let's don't kill him. They ended up selling him to the Midianites, who in turn sold him to the Egyptians. They sold him for 30 pieces of silver, which was kind of the price for a common slave at that time. But they took that goat's blood and they dipped that coat of many colors in it. They took it back to the father, to Jacob, and said, we don't know whether this is Joseph's coat or not, but we found this. They lied to their father. You know they lied. They knew exactly what happened to that coat of many colors. And Joseph's reaction was kind of probably what mine would have been. He said, my son has been rent in pieces. He thought some kind of wild beast had destroyed his son. Feared for the worst, didn't he? Pray with me this morning that Chase Clark will walk again, dear friends. Oh, I pray he'll walk again. Then he's over to Egypt's land, and there's a reunion. And he said, I'll tell you what to do. He said, you load up, look how he says in Scripture, to all them, all his brothers, he gave each man changes of raiment, gave them clothes. But to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. Benjamin was his true brother. The rest were half-brothers, if you will. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that you fall not out of the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Now, the first father was old and had a lot of money, but he had something money couldn't buy. He didn't have a daughter-in-law. And he wanted one to help him be at peace. You know, the Bible says, as a matter of fact, when they got married, that Rebekah comforted Isaac in the loss of her mother, the loss of his mother. His father was getting old, his mother passed away, and he didn't have a bride, but he did now. The Lord blessed him, as Eliezer prayed that. Now we got a father and son, and the father thought that the son was dead. And now he's getting word that he's alive, and he's the governor of Israel, of Egypt. And he sent all these things to you. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived, and Israel said, being Jacob, it is enough. It's enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. If you read the next verse, you know, one thing about this pandemic that bothers me is I hadn't hugged many folks in several months. I'm going to try to respect you. I'm talking about male and female. Brothers and sisters, my desire is to hug you. That's my desire. But right now, I respect. Try to stay away from others and try to keep people well if we can. But, you know, the Bible says that there was a meeting that took place and said that Joseph got in his chariot and went to Goshen and met his father. And the Bible says in chapter 46 of Genesis, verse 29, says he wept on his father's neck a good while. He wept on his father's neck a good while. Do you think Jacob had lost any sleep after they gave him that coat of many colors dipped in goat's blood? You think his heart was broken? Yeah, his heart was broken. And then he got word that beloved son is alive. And what did he say? It's enough. I want to go see him before I die. And Jacob didn't live too much longer. I don't know exactly the time frame from the time he got to Egypt and had this reunion with his son Joseph. It wasn't long, but they had a funeral procession. They took him back to Canaan's land to bury him. You know, even Joseph died down there. Let me back up to when Jacob died there. We're getting to Joseph and Jacob. When Jacob died there, he told him he wanted to be buried at the cave of the field of Machpelah. He said, Abraham and Isaac are buried there. My grandfather and grandmother, Isaac and Rebecca, my mom and dad are buried there. And Leah is buried there. Remember his wife, Rachel, that he loved, was buried over at Bethlehem on the way of Ephrath, on the way to Bethlehem, where she died and given childbirth to Benjamin. I often wonder why he didn't want to be buried there, back by Rachel, his beloved wife. But he went back to the field of Machpelah and was buried there. But you imagine that reunion? One daddy without a daughter-in-law, and he prayed, and the Lord answered. We had one brokenhearted because he thought his son was dead, and there was a reunion there. And the Bible says that they wept on his neck for a good while. How long was a good while? I don't know, but they hugged each other for a good while, and he wept because prayers were answered. And there was some healing that took place there. Jacob said, let me go see him before I die. The last one I want to mention this morning in Scripture is another one that's very familiar to you and many, many times. I've thought about a lot recently about the things, and I may have mentioned some of these things here, but when I was a little boy, I used to wonder what the preacher was going to preach on the way to church. Sometimes I wonder how many preachers there were going to be. What they would preach on. You know, I would hope they'd preach on Daniel and the lion's den, or David and Goliath, or Gideon, or this story right in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son, what we call the prodigal son. You know, this son was a young man, and the Bible says he had wasted his substance. He asked for his inheritance, he got it, and went off and wasted his substance on riotous living. He's a little Jewish boy. Jewish boys couldn't eat pork. Go back to read the old Levitical law. Leviticus chapter 11 tells them what they could eat and couldn't eat, and pork was on the do not eat list. And he found himself in a far country. He'd spent all that he had. And the Bible says he was feeding swine. That's pigs. He couldn't eat them, but he was feeding them. That was his job. And said he did eat of the carapods, which he did feed the pigs. He was eating some of the food that was designated for the pigs. And you know what? He began to get homesick. We had one daddy without a daughter-in-law. We had one daddy that thought his son was dead. Now we got another one that probably thinks his son is dead too. And I've mentioned this in Scripture many times. I, in my efforts to preach, I mentioned it many times. What a beautiful story it is. Not this part of it. Not this part of it. Because I can tell you, as grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads, you know what we want? The Bible says that I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I want my children. When I say my children, all the children here this morning are mine. Not biologically, but I want to see you prosper in this world. There's a lot of heartache out there. There's a lot of pitfalls. There's a lot of traps. There's a lot of people lying to you. There's a lot of unrest. But you think about the sleepless nights his daddy must have had as his son was off who knows where doing who knows what. I'm going to venture to say that daddy lost a lot of sleep. I'm going to say he prayed a lot. Lord, return my boy to me. Bring my boy back home. And when this boy hit rock bottom, what did he say? He got a plan, didn't he? He said, I'm going to go back home and I'm going to ask my daddy if I can be one of his hired servants. He said, because my daddy's servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I'm hungry. I've never really been hungry. Yeah, when I was a kid, my mama used to scold me and Brother Ricky for that, saying, Mama, we're starving. You know, I learned not to say that around my mama. Just so you know what starving is. this little boy said, I'm going to go home and ask my daddy if I could be one of his hired servants. I know you've heard this story many, 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 many times. But do you get tired of hearing it? I don't, Brother Russell. The little boy went back home. He said, my daddy's servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. My daddy's servants are better off than I am. He started going back home, and the Bible says when his daddy saw him yet a great way off, he ran to meet him, fell upon his neck, and had compassion upon him. I'm going to say it was kind of like old Jacob and Joseph. They wept on each other's neck for a good while, I imagine. I don't have time to get in the rest of it with his brother, but the other brother and his reaction to it. But yeah, that daddy, what he had prayed for became reality. He saw this son a great way off, and he ran to meet him and had compassion on him and fell upon his neck and wept. I remember hearing about this account, and I've told you before. I don't know exactly. I've Googled it and looked at their website, and now it's known as Noah's Ark United Primitive Baptist Church in Nashville, Tennessee. I don't know exactly what that is, but the United part of it. But I told you this story before, and I'll tell you again this morning in closing. I remember watching television one morning, getting ready for school many years ago, and I noticed some singing. I heard some singing. Sounded kind of like the singing yesterday at the graveside, Brother Joe and Brother Danny. I look forward to the day when I sing in perfect harmony with the saints of God. And I heard it singing. It sounded good to me. It was definitely a cappella. There were no musical instruments to accompany the singing. And as I was getting ready for school, I began to pay a little more attention to what they were reporting. And there was a man of a different race from me in Nashville, Tennessee. His son had been a 15-year-old son was abducted. They found him in California. Got him back to Nashville, and they had a big celebration at the church. See, the daddy said I had prayed for that, and when the Lord delivered my son, he said I wanted to celebrate and acknowledge the Lord for what He had done for me, bringing my son back to me. And at the end of the broadcast there on that news account, the reporter said, in reporting live from Noah's Ark Primitive Baptist Church in Nashville, Tennessee, I'm so-and-so. Forget her name. It's irrelevant right now. But I thought about that. I said, that's not really the prodigal son, but think of the blessings it must have been. Friend, this morning, the message I'm trying to convey to you is whatever problems you're facing right now, whatever problems this great nation is facing right now, His grace is sufficient. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. David said one time, I was once young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. But I pray that you find in whatever situation that you have, that it is enough. Not in a sense of, I've had all I can stand. I'm ready to fold my tent. But His grace is sufficient. That is enough that He has blessed us to walk and to continue to receive great blessing in this land. And I trust this morning, if you've got anything what I tried to preach, you give the Lord all praise, honor, and glory. And I can tell you this morning, it was good to drink a sixth of a hen of water before I came to the meeting house. I love you. And I trust the Lord will bless you in the days to come. And again, it's a great blessing here this morning. This is the biggest crowd I've seen at Union in a few months now. I pray, when we leave here, I probably won't hug you. If you come and hug me, that's fine. But I won't initiate the hug. But I love you, and I look forward to the day that I can hug you again. And I thank God for Union Church, Brother James, and the blessing that's been in my life. All the days of my life. Friends, it's enough. That's what He told His disciples, wasn't it, when they were sleeping. He said, it's enough. The time of my departure is at hand. He said, my earthly pilgrimage is about over. It's enough. May the Lord bless you. It's our prayer this morning.